You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians and in chapter 6. And we have spent some time on the God's wonderful keeping of us so that we can enjoy Ephesians. You can't enjoy Ephesians without understanding the world system. Your old sin nature is against it. So therefore, you need the whole armor of God to be able to handle it. Otherwise, you're going to get clobbered and you aren't going to enjoy it. So in the process, we share together that whole armor, and that whole armor involves, it's the armor that belongs to God, and a God is the one, it's God's armor. It isn't my armor, it isn't your armor, it isn't something we use to protect ourselves. God is the protector. God, it's God's armor. You're bought with a price, from your head to your toe. When you receive Christ as your Savior, if you did, he actually claimed, he paid a price on Calvary's cross to save you. And you went from being a sinner under the world system to be a saved saint under God's saving grace. The system to Christ. There's no in the between. There's no middle ground. There's no such thing as neutral. I'll choose which side. No, you don't. You're either saved on God's side or you're unsaved and you're in the system. Whether you like it or not, you're in the system. So, that whole armor of God, keeping that in mind. And so God tells us about the armor in words that we can understand. And therefore, we have gone through a little bit of it to try to get a glimpse of it in chapter 6. And it's to be able to handle, in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's all the powers that have positions of authority. And principalities and powers, that means you have the power, the authority, the right, the might to exercise your authority. So, and therefore, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you're up against that in the world system. God saves you. He doesn't take you out of this world. He leaves you in this world. That's what he does. Now, and he leaves you in the world to show his wonderful saving grace. How is the saving grace? That Christ, you received as your Savior, God in you is to be walking up and down the street, in work, at home, at school, wherever you are. You bring God in front of the human race, wherever you are. That's what you're doing. And God leaves you. Then why? Who are you bringing in front of the work, home, school, play? Christ in you. That's what you're doing. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, so therefore we looked at, moving along in verse 15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the peace that belongs to the gospel. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And thus the New Testament, Romans, etc., to help you understand the good news. Christ died and took us to the cross, etc., etc. Now, having done that, so we, our feet are shod with the gospel, the word peace, shalom, the peace, the wholeness, completeness, wellness, a whole being, completely right, perfect, tranquil, quiet. There's no strife, there's no trouble, it's at peace. Wonderful, wonderful wholeness, completeness. Our feet are shod with that. What do you mean, God? What do you mean? Now, my feet are that because God didn't take me out of the world. He leaves me in the world. He didn't take me out. So here I am. And we walk by faith on planet Earth. In the valley of the shadow of death, said David, we're walking. That's right. We're holding our ground in enemy territory. We aren't in the land of freedom. We aren't in heaven. We're on planet Earth. And therefore, light is hated by darkness. So therefore, here we are. And the peace of God, where do we walk on planet Earth? By way of our feet. By way of our feet. And remember, we shared the word, the military, what we're talking about here, in the process of it all, in doing it, the shoes, cleats, put cleats in the bottom of them, broad nails, they're called, on the shoes, so that the soldiers, not the generals and commanders had it, but the soldiers did. They're out there, and they're having to hold the ground against the enemy. They're having to go forward against the enemy. And therefore they can't be slipping and sliding. They've got to hold their ground when they go forward. That's what they have. And when they stand firm, they don't want to be sliding back into the next guy. They want to be holding their ground. God, the peace, the wholeness, we're complete. We're healthy, wealthy, and wise in your wonderful grace. So therefore, we're able to hold our ground while we're on planet Earth. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Now, hanging on to that, that's good. But we got our armor on. But God, everything's coming out, going to be thrown at us. There's no question. We're going to look at it. All the stuff's going to be thrown at us. So what are we going to do? Well, in verse 16, above all, in addition, make sure you have your shield. And the shield is somewhere here in the process. That's the trouble. This fellow has lost his shield. Here it is. Here he is. And the shield is there. So we have the shield. It isn't this kind of shield. That's what you normally think of. It's a square door, rectangle, 4 feet long, 2.5 feet wide, made of wood, metal, leather, rhinoceros hide, and ox hide usually, and hippopotamus and elephant hide that put over the armor. So the steel, the wood, the door is covered. The hole in front of them, a door to keep in front of them. And in the process, if I don't have the shield, I'm open to get clobbered here. Oh, I got wonderful armor on, but I keep getting beat up. You can't knock me out. I got my armor on. And by the way, what you're reading in Ephesians 6, it assumes, as a believer, you have the armor on. It isn't that you may put it on. You already have it. Make sure you're wearing. You already have it, like we did with the shirt. Remember the shirt? This is your old nature, sin nature. And in your old sin nature, you have a new relationship to the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to exercise that relationship and believe, or to trust God. We walk by faith. And we wear the armor. And we can put it down in two seconds. I can put it down. It's back to me. Or I can be trusting God. It's up to me. I can say thank you, God, and do everything I'm supposed to do in the way I'm supposed to do it. I can do this. I can do it. But I don't have to. I'm used to living like this, and so is everybody else. So if I wear this, I look sort of different. So I put it down. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, thank you. Now, in the light of that, God. So we put the whole armor of God, and here we're going to take the shield. The shield, verse 16, of belonging to, genitive, belonging to the faith. The faith. The shield is what? There's a literal shield they wore, but we aren't talking about that. We're talking about the armor of God. And the shield in this case is faith. It isn't just faith, it's the faith. And remember, we shared it last time, so you understand it. The faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. Now, having said that, go over with me, if you would, please, just not doing it all, but just a little, back over to Romans chapter 4. And in Romans in chapter 4, you will pick up, if you would. And remember Abraham. Abraham believed God, Genesis 15. God would be, Genesis 15, 1, God would be his shield, an exceeding great reward. Sliding down, chapter 15, verse 6. And Abraham looked up at the sky and believed God that all the stars, that God would do a wonderful thing in Abraham's heart and save him and do a wonderful thing in the nation of Israel, et cetera, et cetera. And we're saved, we're part of that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God is going to do that. And Abraham believed God, what he had said, and who he was. He had promised Abraham a seed, Isaac, and Abraham believed God. But he had to let that belief deepen to where he was really doing it. Therefore, Romans chapter 4, and we share together, sliding down in the light of everything, sliding down to verse 18. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. He was fully anticipating and expecting that purpose. He might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be, Genesis 15, etc. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, that is the faith, the faith. There's a difference. I'll say it and then you know it. Anyway, there's the verb to be persuaded. And out of that, the mother to be persuaded, the mother word, out of that verb comes out of the same mother, the same bird, persuaded. One is the word faith, a noun, and the other is the word believe, the verb. Faith, believe, they go together. So, Abraham believed God. He believed the faith. He believed God's word. God said something and he believed it. The shield of faith, the shield that's up, and put on the shield, take the shield of the faith. And in Ephesians 6:16, that is the faith, the shield, which is none other than the word of God. Take the word of God and put it in front of you. The word faith, not just faith, to believe, not just that. We're talking about the word. What are we believing? What is to be believed? God and what he said. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it and put it in front of you. Who's going to fight it? Who's going to change it? You can rip up the Bible, do anything you want. You can't change it. In the original languages, when God gave over his word, and he said he did. So when he did it, who's going to change what he said? You can rip it up, do whatever you want with it. I'm just telling you, you can't change what God said. God said, believe it. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what he did. Put on the shield, believe. How am I going to stop the dumb stuff coming at me? Believe. I said something, like we did in Jeremiah, and the world says something. All right? God said, let's see who wins. The world says, we're going to do this. God said, I'm going to do that. So let's see who wins, says God. You remember? As we did at Jeremiah. You know who wins. God's going to win. When it's all done. Oh, we're going to win. We're going to win. Well, give yourself a few more days and you'll die. And how did you do in winning? You didn't win. You passed on to dust, like I told you. No one's going to win. You can't beat me, said God. You just can't beat me. Therefore, in Romans chapter 4 and in verse 19, and being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. Remember, he's 100 years old. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And finally, God's going to get Isaac after 25 years, and Abraham's 100 years old. God said, all right, and Abraham believed. Now, it's impossible. I've got to have Ishmael. I got to do this. I got to do that. God said, no, you don't. When I told you something, you should have stuck to it. And believe me, I've waited 25 years for you to shut up so I could do it. Do you understand? That's what I did. And I did it. When you can't, what did you do, Abraham, at 100 years old? I believed God straightway. At 100, you believed you were going to have Isaac. You bet. But it's impossible. You said it was impossible. But it's not more. Not when God's involved. If God said it, God's going to do it. And I believe. I have faith. I believe what God said, the body of truth, his word to be believed. So therefore, chapter 4 again, and picking up verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That means not believing, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God was able to perform, and God was able to do it. Now, just to lock that in a little bit, I think I'm just going to hammer the nail a little bit to make sure, get believe. Over, if you would please, to see it. Over Psalm 138. As you know, I always say, as you know, and you must know everything by now. What can I tell you? Psalm 138. And help me, David. Verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. Will I praise thee, pray, I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship, verse 2, toward thy holy temple. I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for the truth. For thou hast magnified, enlarged, increased. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You said it. In the beginning, God created, and God said, let there be light. And then Moses, God said, write it down, Moses. Write it down in there. Right, keep writing what I tell you. Writing, that's right. Now, so God's going to take his word. And he's given us his word in the original languages. And that's what he said. And we got a wonderful, wonderful Bible now to understand the little two or three things that we don't have answers to are nothing. Nothing compared. So what do we have, God? We have your word. And you're telling me, God, that you're going to honor what you've said in the Bible in front of you. I'm going to honor it so that my name will be honored. My name is on the line on those words. my name is on the line. To not do thy word, what he said. He said that you aren't going to know me. Remember John 5:39 to the Pharisees and everybody. These things have I written unto you. But they weren't believing. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that tell all about me. I've given you my word to understand who I am. And my word is yes and amen. So you're going to argue with my word? You don't understand my word? Up to you. But boy, God said, I put myself on the line when I put it in writing and had Moses write and David write and Paul write and Peter write. I put my name on the line when they did that. So I didn't do that for the fun of it, so that you could get after me if I don't believe it, if I don't do it. Therefore, hold the armor up. Why? Are you going to stand behind what's the seal that I believe? You bet I'm going to stand behind it. My name's on the line. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, and Isaiah chapter 55. And in Isaiah chapter 55, would you allow me to go, if I can? Chapter 55, you know the wonderful section, my words and my thoughts and my ways are higher than the heavens, than anything you can ask or think. And thus, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I gave them so you'd know them and believe them. Now, verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So, as the rain, the snow, everything does what it's supposed to do. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, fruitless. But on the other hand, contrast, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's going to do exactly what I said. So Abraham, what? He believed what God said. How did he believe what God said? He believed it by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. That's right. That's by. What do you mean? I believe God. I believe what he said. He means what he said and says what he means. I believe it. Now, having said that, it will not return to me void. So, and you know without turning there, Revelation 22, 18, Deuteronomy chapter 4, et cetera, et cetera. Don't add to my word and don't subtract. Just believe it. Don't let the recipes be as I have given them. Don't play with the recipes. Don't play with what I said. So we're going to have theology books, and we had everything by a ton, religious books out our ears. Right. And where are we? Our system is what? On the verge of the coming up of the Antichrist. We're at Revelation chapter 3. We don't believe anything, and generally speaking, in Christendom, Christians, we believe what we don't believe. Like Abraham had to wait 25 years. We don't believe, really. We don't have a shield of faith. We don't practice what God said. And watch it. We're going to practice it. We're going to exercise and practice it. But now, having said that, keeping that in mind, back over to Deuteronomy. We've got to get the Old Testament into the New. Deuteronomy and chapter 29. Better than that, time's sake. Deuteronomy chapter 33. chapter 33, Deuteronomy, Israel. Deuteronomy is about to end. Moses is going to die, and he finishes it. But what does he have to say to Israel? What do they need to know? If they're going to go forward in the light of Genesis to Deuteronomy and Joshua and everything, what do they need to know? Chapter 33, 29. Happy art thou, O Israel. Why? Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help? And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. You're going to win, Israel. You're losing. You chose not to put the armor on. I told you I'd take care of you. I'm your shield. I'll protect you. But you didn't want that. And where are you, Israel? You're over there now with all that's going on, and then with China, add China to the whole mess. What's going on over there? Wow. Now, in the light of that, so, God, you're going to take care of Israel. I am. But you have to wait till the millennium. I'm going to send them through the tribulation. They are going to get blasted and beaten up. But they're going to wake up. Abraham, you waited 25 years and had a lot of difficulties. You did. But finally you woke up at 100. That's right. So here's Israel. Has to go through the tribulation to wake up. That's what they have to do. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Psalm 18. And Psalm 18. And we're looking at the shield for Israel. Israel didn't use the shield like they should in their history. They wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted to be like them. That's what they wanted to do. And the nations don't have anything. They don't have any relationship to God. No. But they wanted to be like them. Why? Because if I join your club and join your gang, would you stop beating me up? Join me. Get into what I'm doing in my gang, in the club, in the whatever it is, and you become part of us. And then we'll leave you alone. But if you're going to be out there, you're our enemy. So what does Israel want to do? They wanted to join up with the whole thing. That's what they wanted to do. And that's what they're doing. But now they're facing the consequences of the Babylonian captivity and thereafter. Why? Because they're struggling, and God told them. Well, you'll see it. Hang on. Over in Psalm 18. David, help us. So, Israel's shield, but David was going to take of it. David wasn't going to miss out. Therefore, chapter 18, verse 1. Can be 2 Samuel 2. Chapter 18, Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my God, strength. The Lord, watch all the my's. My. Personal. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, that's a shield, my buckler, shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. My. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Personal. That's what it has to be. You're personally saved by a personal God in a very personal way. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, David said, over chapter 18, going a little further, so you see it come together. Psalm 18, I don't want to keep saying that. Psalm 18, going over if I can, to verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, shield. He's a shield to all those that trust in him. He's the shield. He's the protector in a world that doesn't want him. Verse 34, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is our rock? A rock save our God. It is God that girdeth me with strength. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet. The gospel of peace, where you can have power and you can go. Why can you go? Because you're trusting God. And the peace of God gives you a wonderful sense. You're already there. You're not going to be there. You're there. You already got the armor. You're already there. So you can face whatever's going to be there. So in Psalm 18, my high places, verse 8, 34, he teaches my hands to war so that I, with a bow of steel, that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast given, verse 15, verse 35, thou hast given me the shield of my salvation, and thy gentleness. The word gentleness is to have someone bend down to you and tend to your need. God, your gentleness, you're thinking about me, and in your grace, you show me your favor, and you bend down to me. And when you bend down to me and be my God, that gentleness, God, it does something to me. The end of verse 30-35, and has made me great. I feel super duper comfortable, confident. I'm assured. But everything is in doubt. No. I'm wonderfully, wonderfully assured. Peace. The good news, Christ died on the cross, and it's finished. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 115. Now, in the light of Israel, in the light of David, in the light of the Old Testament, in Psalm 115, and what do we have? And may I pick it up, please, in the light of everything, sliding over, to verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen, the unsaved, say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. That's what he's doing, taking care of everything. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Therefore, having said that, sliding over to verse 8, that, and they that make them, these are idols, you'll see it, verse 7. They have hands, idols, but they handle not. They have feet, but they walk not. They neither speak, they through their throat. Verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. You trust idols. And the idols are absolutely, absolutely useless. Remember, all religion and idols of any kind going way back to Genesis 11 are made by us humans. We create the religion, we create the thinking, and then we go and build the idols. It's all out of us. So when you're done with your idols, when you're done with your philosophy, when you're done with your dreams, when you've got them all done, look at them. Now, where are they going to take you? To the grave. And you can bury them in the dust with you. Now, so God, Psalm 115, verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their, what, dear friends? Shield. That's right. He's your help. All Israel had to do, Deuteronomy 33, is trust God. But they didn't do it. So David did, and what is the psalmist going to say? You ought to be doing, as an Israelite, you have a special advantage. Trust thou in the Lord, he is the help and the shield. Now what happens if Israel doesn't do it? Well, the next group is the priesthood. If anyone should be thinking about God, if anyone should know the Bible, the priest should know the Bible. The priest should know. O house of Aaron, verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. That's right. But you know what? The house of Aaron, the priesthood didn't do it. So what are you going to do, God? The same as you do with the humans. You gave Israel the right to be saved. Israel chose not to be saved. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10. He came into the world. The world knew him not, didn't even care. He came unto the Jews, verse 11, and the Jews received him not. They rejected him. Verse 12, as many as received him. God said, well, is there anyone out there that wants me to get saved? I died for all of them. Is any of you guys want to get right with God, or don't you? And thus, you read in verse 10, and ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. When God's all done, I hope I find somebody that's smart enough to trust me. That's what I'm looking for. The whole system leaves me out. Revelation chapter, the church in Laodicea. We don't need you, God. We'll let you know if we need you. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and the time is gone. So, you haven't even got started. We at least got enough for another half an hour. I'll do one thing for you, though, in the minute. We got a minute, too. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. And picking up, if I can, and I hope you're getting a little bit, it bit by bit. Hebrews in chapter 4, pick me up please, if I can. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Remember now the end of verse chapter 3 when we did the book of Hebrews, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in to his rest because of unbelief. Now, unbelief. So then you go and say, well, how do we fix the unbelief? What was their problem? What was their problem? Why didn't they believe? Abraham did, but they didn't. David did, but they didn't. Chapter 4, Hebrews, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, that any of you should come short, seem to come short of it. In other words, you never get there. You get to the house, but you never go through the doorway to get in the house. You did everything, but you never got into the restaurant to eat. Chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them way back in the New Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them. Why not? Not being mixed with faith, the faith. And they didn't have the belief. They didn't believe what God said, the faith. In verse 2, not being mixed with faith, the faith, the body of truth, what is to be believed, they didn't believe God's word in them that heard it. And it wasn't being mixed. They heard it with their ears, but they didn't mix it. And the easiest way in closing to get that, if you were a cow or some other animal like that, what would you do? Well, you enjoy being a cow And you'll give a little milk sometime, you know, a little, and not hamburger yet. And so we go and we eat grass. We eat grass all day long. All day long we sit and eat grass. You think you'd get tired of chewing, wouldn't you? They're tired of eating grass. And you say, well, boy, their digestive system must be something. No, what, if I understand it right, they have a little bag in back there, something down in there. And what do? They shove all this grass down into the bag, into the bucket, inside their stomach down there. And they put it all in there. And then you see them, they've been busy all day chewing, getting that grass in. Now they go sit under the tree and content, and they chew. And they chew. They keep bringing the grass up. They eat all day and digest it. That's what happened to the believers. They had the food. They didn't digest it. It wasn't mixed with faith. So it never became real. It never became theirs. It could have been theirs, but it wasn't theirs. They chose not to make it theirs. So here you've got the wonderful nutrients of truth, of God's wonderful grace that created you. And you have to go and what? Assimilate it, digest it, let it get into your heart and head. Can anyone care about us? Does anyone care about us? Yes, we're created in his image and likeness. Look at us. Hands, feet, 12 systems. Wow. Wow. God, you're something else. You betcha. You betcha. So, what are we doing? Make sure you put on the whole armor of God. And God said, make sure I'm going to help you understand the shield. You need the shield. I'm there to protect you. But you have to understand how it works. I'm there to help you. I may let you fall down. I may let you break your leg. Whatever. But be of good cheer. If you keep that shield up, you're going to be able to work right through it. That's what you got to understand. So we have to do that. And if the Lord tarries and we live another few hours, wow, we'll give it a shot. I hope you got a little bit. Wow. Put on, take on that whole shield of faith. And God said, listen, I'm your protector. I'm able to take all the fiery darts that come at you. I mean, it doesn't say just darts. God, you could have just said javelin, arrows, spears, missiles. You could have just said that. You didn't say that, God. Because our adversary, spiritual wickedness in high places, and they aren't sending you little arrows. They're sending you fiery arrows with pitch and tar in front of them. So when that arrow comes, put up your shield, 4x6, 4x2.5, the big door, you put that up. Why? To let the fire hit it. And with the leather and everything, it just goes out. I gotta quit. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy grace. Help us understand inch by inch. And God, that we would have the wonderful advantage as we travel through time. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Spirit of God, honor our Lord and his saving grace. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for being our wonderful Savior, having to sit, God, on the throne of our heart. You're our Lord and Savior, our life and love. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.